Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. With Allah Ta'ala's fadl, His blessings, His mercy, with His karam, we are all sat here for an azeem, for a great objective. And Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, the capability to sit here, to gather together. He has saved us from thousands of bad things, thousands of sins, thousands of wrong actions, thousands of wrong majalis, different types of wrong gatherings. And Allah Ta'ala has given us His karam, His mercy, that some moment in our lives, some time in our lives, in the form of this majlis, Allah Ta'ala has given this to us, this gathering, so we can spend this time, small amount of time in our lives, wisely and correctly. The objective is one. The objective is one, and the maqsad, the objective is just solely to attain the rada, the pleasure of Allah. There's no other objective or purpose of this gathering except Allah Ta'ala's rada, His pleasure and happiness. That's it. What is the special quality of this gathering that we say that how and what is there inherent in this gathering that it gives us the pleasure of Allah? What is it? The speciality of this gathering is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this gathering, in this majlis, has instilled barakah, blessings, that quality is created in the insan, in the human being, through which the human being gets close to his Rabb, to his Lord, through this quality. And what is that quality that allows the human being to get close to his Lord? That akhlaqi razila, slowly, the akhlaqi razila, slowly, via and through and due to the dhikr of Allah, it starts to improve. Just like the leaves fall off the tree, the same way the sins and the bad akhlaq effects come away from a person, are removed from a person. And akhlaqi razila, which is the biggest restriction and hurdle to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obviously to reach to paradise, to Jannah. So if this obstruction or restriction is not removed, then Allah ta'ala cannot be happy with us. He cannot be happy with us. He won't be happy with us. And we are very aware of the situation of this world, how to live, to walk around, talk, sit down, eat, wife, children, family, business, relations, contacts, associates, and all of the matters of the world. We observe these, we implement things during the day, and these all impact on the heart. And the impact on the heart of the worldly things cause akhlaqi razila. Sometimes you get angry, sometimes you lie, sometimes you backbite, sometimes I'll have pride or hatred, etc. Many effects, negative effects come into a person in his akhlaq. And all of these sins that I've just mentioned quickly, if we know the reality, what is this sin and what is the adab, the punishment of this sin in the akhirah, in the hereafter. So if a person has some sense, awareness, and he sees the defects and the sins within him, then I think that that person really shouldn't sleep the whole night long out of worry and fear. So this fact of sin, the action of sin, Allah Ta'ala said that through the action of dhikr, I make it easy for the human being that when my servant, Allah says, does my dhikr, when he remembers me, he or she automatically feel that the sins are being removed from the body, and the akhlaqi razila, the bad effect, the bad state of affairs, starts to go far from that person. And Allah Ta'ala has put the sift, the quality, just like the leaves, the dry leaves on the tree, for example, in autumn, fall off easily. And the same way, the sins and the bad effects of the sins start to be removed from the person's body. Then the flowers start to bud, and nice green leaves sprout out of the branches, and the flowers bloom. And Allah Ta'ala has made a system within us that when the sins of Razila and the Akhlaq Razila, when it starts to get removed, just like the dry autumn leaves fall off, then the new flowers and leaves bud onto that branch, and Allah Ta'ala revitalizes, re-energizes that person. The new good things are born or take effect. And what do we call this? Akhlaqi Hamida. Akhlaqi Hamida. Now the elders in Islam, Hazrat Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah, stated with regards to this point in his kitab, in his book, that people normally say wilaya, wilaya, wali of Allah. What is the praise or definition of a wali of Allah? So has a Shaykh al-Adiz, has Zakariya, alhamdulillah, may Allah have mercy on him. What a great personality, great Shaykh, great wali of Allah. Every one of you knows his maqam, his status, what status Allah gave to him, level that Allah Ta'ala gave to him, that today in the city of the Rasulullah, he's lying down. And this is the greatest sort of achievement. And who gets this? That where he was in Saranpur and he was unwell and he went to many places and he used to go back. And people do this and they go back home. The earth does not accept. But Hazrat went from Saranpur, walked ill, unwell, and he didn't move from Medina Sharif. And ultimately the time came, the final days came, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Masjid Sharifa, that all his life he used to speak about the Prophet's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mention hadith. Subhanallah, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to mention and draw the scenes, and then mashallah his salatul janazah was being prayed in Masjid Nabawi, and he died in Medina and was buried in Medina. So his words, they must be valuable. Such people, their words are very valuable. They are pure from showing off or dunya contamination. So Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadis Rahmatullah said, and I'll give you the meaning of this. The people say, Wali, Wali, Wali. Wali of Allah doesn't have horns, one is that. Not does he have some external sign that he's a Wali or some special libas, or he's got an imama, beard, white clothes, he's a Wali of Allah. No, no, no. Otherwise, then this would be like ready-made Walis off the shelf. I can be a Wali of Allah, you can be a Wali of Allah. Let's have a bath and put white clothes on, put some oil, nice. You get some nice oils, you can put on the beard, a nice creams with fragrance. And we could put that on our face and we say, oh, he's a wali of Allah. Kutub going, mashallah, he's a pious person. Haha. So this is not the sign of wilaya. This is not the effect of the friendship of Allah. Wilayat, to be a friend of Allah, is a big thing. What is wilayat? It is defined, Allah Ta'ala has praised that wilayat, the friendship of Allah, is to remove akhlaqi razila and to replace it with the akhlaqi hamida. Subhanallah. And the person who has this, alhamdulillah, he is then the definite guaranteed wali of Allah, who replaces akhlaqi razila, bad akhlaq, with the akhlaqi hamida, with the good akhlaq. And those people who understand this, alhamdulillah, they work on this. That's why we do dhikr. That's why we do dhikr. So that from within us, the akhlaqi razila, we can extract this. We don't take it out. It's hidden within us, hidden inside us. What do we know? I'm watching you, you're watching me. We're all sat in the majlis and there are many people here. Who's got what in whose heart? The feeling nifaq and hypocrisy and enmity, opposition. We don't know. We can't read the hearts. The enmity is hidden within, subhanAllah. So Allah knows best. He knows the unseen. What's in the hearts? Who's prostrating? What was his salah like? What was his prayer like? What was he doing? What game was he playing? What was his hisab? Allah Ta'ala knows best. He is Rabb. Obviously, if a person is not pure, sincere, then he'll get caught. For example, if I'm doing something bad and dirty and immoral and people run after me, look, oh, is he drinking alcohol? Or he's gambling? He's going to here? Or he's going to the place to drink? And then a person seen, he's caught. But the sins internal sins, when a person, for example, is caught external sins, he is embarrassed when he's caught and he leaves that sin. But internal sins, there's no shame, there's no haya, no modesty, and the sins are multiplying within, inside the heart and the nafs. So dangerous, dangerous. Now, for example, these sins internally will not stop multiplying until they don't take us to the hereafter. For example, there's a person going, oh, what's he doing? He's smoking cigarette. What will Maulana Sahib say? This is not good action. A person is a bit embarrassed, a bit of modesty comes to life, a bit of shame. But the internal sins, nobody's watching them. Nobody's looking at them. Nobody from the world, nobody from the public, are they? And a person's being praised, mashallah, Hazrat Sahib, he's pious, he looks like a good person. And he's getting more big-headed and proud within. So those people who realize that, yes, Ustad, I cannot succeed, then they hasten towards the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. I'm impure inside, and I've got sins inside me, in my soul, my nafs, my desires, and I'm standing on the banks of Jahannam, and this will be revealed when I go into my grave. That's when the person runs towards the cure. So take any wali of Allah, Chishti, Silsila, or Suhrawardi, Uda, or the four Salasil, the four schools of Tasawwuf. This is a gathering of Tasawwuf, recreation, that's why I'm speaking. Forgive me, I'm not speaking about fiqh, or jurisprudence, or hadith, or Quran tafsir, but because this is the gathering of rectification and Tasawwuf, rectification of the heart and soul. If this was another gathering, I'd speak about fasting and prayer and the Muslim Masalba, because this is a specific majlis for a specific reason. And the reason that we're gathered around for, and with that regard in mind, with that thought in mind, I'm presenting the statements of our pious predecessors here in this gathering. That's the reason why we've come here. This is the subject. So, a person who is full of negative and sins and darkness, akhlaqi razila inside, how does he get that removed? Allah Ta'ala has given us the tariqah, the method. Allah has explained that with the dhikr of Allah, when a person does dhikr of Allah, kullu shayin sakin, there's a cleaning agent for everything, and the cleaning agent for the heart is the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah's Nabi, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, qala Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, kullu shayin sakin. Allah Ta'ala said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that for everything there's a cleaning agent, there's water, normally you have water and washing powder or soap and you wash things, but inside, how do you remove the wretchedness of anger? How do you move the wretchedness of hasad? How do you move the wretchedness of jealousy, of nifaq, of hypocrisy, or of enmity to other people, which destroys a person in this world and the akhirah? How? How do you move? Kullu, Allah, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that everything has a cleaning agent or something that we can use to wash it. And the thing to wash the heart is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. That said, what do we need to do? Dhikr of Allah. And what is the effect of dhikr of Allah? To remove the sins. We can't remove them physically. No, we can't do that. We need to take the means, the resource. Allah Ta'ala has promised, you do my dhikr and I will remove the sins from your life, from your batin, from your inner self. That's why Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that that individual who does the dhikr of Allah, who remembers Allah, what will he be? That, for example, the person who says the shahada in the last seconds of his life, he will walk into paradise. Because if a person is doing dhikr of Allah, then how can he be left with sins? The question doesn't arise. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the good news in this world to that person who departs by reciting the kalima, the statement of faith. And we leave such a great deed of dhikr. This does not make sense. A person, if he's intellectual and he leaves dhikr of Allah, how can this be? Or tell me a machine inside that's washing away our heart and our sins and removing all the sins in our life before we die. Is there some machine, for example, if you have dirt in your house on your carpet or floor, you use a vacuum cleaner and clean the floor, isn't it? But what's the cleaning agent or machine for the heart? Is there any scientist or technician who can tell me that puts something on your heart, a machine or some sort of mechanism, and it will remove all of the sins inside? So if there isn't, then what will happen to us? Or can you give me a guarantee, anyone here today or anyone today, that with my sins, with our sins, I will attain Jannah, paradise, and I will not get punishment? The punishment in the grave is for lying and alcohol and other things. This is the adab, and such adab that the deeds that we have done, all of the worship actions will be put to the back of the queue. And Allah Ta'ala says that if you pray my salah, then pray it in a pure form and don't have anything against somebody in your heart and don't be an enemy of anybody, and then come and do sajda to me, Allah Ta'ala says. Then do prostration to me. That's when you know that you're prostrating to Allah. Otherwise, what sort of prostration are you making if you don't have Allah Ta'ala's esteem and awe and reverence? So the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, this is the reason. It removes the razail, the negative qualities from within, and replaces it with good qualities. So for example, one sin is removed, another one comes. One goes and one comes again. In other words, one impurity is removed and then one good replaces it. One good replaces it. Takabbur is removed and then humbleness comes. Pride is removed, humility replaces it. Lying is removed and sincerity replaces it. Honesty replaces it. If you remove the modesty of the eyes, then modesty in the life comes and replaces this in the heart. So a new system starts. The dirt is removed and the goodness comes. So in these sifat, a person, he progresses and gets closer to Allah. So as you keep progressing, and good things will come into your life, and you get closer to Allah. And this is called qurbi ilahi, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the best quality, the highest quality, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's extreme nearness is attained. And all the prophets of Allah had this, and the Anbiya salatu wasalam, and the Jamia, the Imam al-Anbiya, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this sift, that all the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum had this quality, and the Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in, Awliyaullah, the Waliz of Allah, all of these people, whichever maqam they had that Allah Ta'ala gave to them, Allah Ta'ala made them near to him, then after that sift comes, the quality comes, then a person becomes a human being, a good, and this is a very good sift if that comes into a person. So that person, the Sahaba Ikram, they attained uruj and heights, the Sahabiyat and the Sahaba, the men and the women, and through this sift, this quality, they attained heights. And I was mentioning that quality yesterday, and what is that? That generosity, sakhawat, to be generous and not to be miserly. We were speaking about this yesterday, weren't we? This is such an important thing that today I feel like I explain and speak on this a bit more today. Subhanallah. That this is the highest quality, alhamdulillah, that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. And a person, for example, he tries and he makes effort, and Allah Ta'ala gives him the reward of being a sakhi, generous person. And the opposite to that is bukhl, the miserly person, which is worthy of a curses. When a person is a bakhil, then he is not doing right. But the opposite of bakhil, miserly, is to be a sakhi, to be generous. That, for example, the meaning of this is whatever mal Allah Ta'ala has given to us, whatever wealth Allah Ta'ala has given to us, to spend it in the right place and have happiness when you spend it in the right way. Now here we'll say, oh, I'm poor. No. It applies to everybody. This ibadah, the door of this ibadah is open. Allah Ta'ala has given. Whatever Allah has given to you, 100,000 or 10,000 or 3 million or 5,000. Somebody earns in the night, he comes home with 10 pounds. And then it maybe ends quickly. So for everybody, Allah Ta'ala says, you are all equal. The 10,000, for example, the person who's got 1 million, he's given 100 pounds. The person who's got 10 pounds, he's given 10 pence. And the more you are a sakhi and generous, the more happiness you will feel, or you think when you know that you're spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you feel happiness, then Allah says, I'll give you more nearness to myself. So now this is difficult for people, to be generous. All night, pray tahajjud. Pray the nafil salah, recite Quran. To take 10 pounds out of the pocket for us is difficult. Oh, for example, someone says, I'm hungry. Can you give me 10 pounds? Say, 10 pounds? And he'll look around 2-3 times and think for a few minutes. He says, oh, I haven't got any money. Subhanallah. And he's sitting there reciting Quran. He's got money worth. And look at the hal. Somebody asked him, as Uthman radiyallahu anhu, let's speak about a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of the Sahaba were all generous. All of them had levels of generosity. And every companion was a Siddiq. Every companion was a brave person. Not just Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu was brave, but different Sahaba had the different, you can say, levels of these qualities. Yes? Otherwise, subhanAllah, every flower in this garden of Risalat was a beautiful flower. Every flower would emit a beautiful and unique fragrance. Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu anhu. And look, amazing alqab, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them the rank and the titles. Dhun Nurain, that he had the Dhul Basharatain, Jami' al-Qur'an, Kamil Haya wal-Iman, Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan. These are all titles, great titles that were bestowed upon him by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what rank and status do you have? Look at his generosity and how much qurb he attained, how much nearness to Allah. Has Uthman radiyallahu anhu. Every companion had generosity inherent in his life. When the people came to Medina, the Muhajireen, and at that time there were the Muhajireen, the migrators, and the Ansar, who were the residents of Medina Sharif. And subhanallah, that there was no, for example, water at that time. There was hunger, and one Jew had a well, and he thought, I've got some more customers here. And for example, he came and he had a pencil and a paper. He said, here, money for one glass of water, I will charge. And he's making money for the water. And all of the Sahaba, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu, stands up. Biri Uthman, the well of Uthman, there, go and see that. You will have seen that if you go there. Alhamdulillah, Biri Uthman, the well of Hazrat Uthman, maybe they've locked it or sealed it. I saw it in olden days, some decades ago, and there was a date orchard around it, date palm garden, and the well was there. The well of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu anhu. And the Jew said, yes, do you want water? He said, I sell the water here. And this is Medina. Here water will be sold. You don't get it free here. Have you come from Makkah? He said, yes, I've come from Makkah. He said, yes, everyone's here. You're all the Muhajireen, aren't you? You want some water. So he said, okay. So how much, would you like to do? He said, you cannot drink. Everybody has to buy the water. He said, what shall I do? That the tajir is like this. Isn't a businessman. Give me one piece of bread. I'm hungry. He said, so what if you're hungry? Go, move from here. This is what happens, isn't it, to people in the world when they need something. So he said, what is it? What do you need? He said, how much water has gone from? He said, how much does it cost? He said, you're a muhajir? He said, you'll pay me? He said, yes, I'll pay you. He said, how will you pay me? He said, I will pay you. He said, is it? He said, 40,000 dinars of that time, 40,000 dinars. He thought Hazrat Uthman would go. Subhanallah. He said, okay, fine, I agree. He said, hold on, stop. He's about to fulfill my demand. He said, okay, we'll go half-half. That otherwise I'll be, I'll be empty-handed then. He wanted to do tijara. He said, what we'll do? You take half of the well and I'll take half the well. In other words, 3 days yours and 3.5 days mine. 3.5 days yours, 3.5 days mine. And now I've told you the value, so give me 20,000. He said, okay, here, take 20,000. He said, oh, very quickly? How quickly you paid me? He said, why? He said, because I wanted to please my Rabb, my Lord. You don't want to please anyone, do you? But I want to please my Lord. You're giving the money to please Allah. He said, totally. That Allah and His Rasul will become happy. And what else do I need? He said, okay, fine. 3.5 days yours and 3.5 days mine. So he said, okay, go to the side. From today we start. Subhan Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu called out, "Come, water free of charge, free, 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 alhamdulillah." And that Jew, the Jews are coming, Nasara are coming, Christians are coming, Muslims are coming. There are lines of men and women, and 3.5 days free water to everybody. Everyone's cool and happy, and the Yodi sitting there with his pencil and paper. Nobody comes to him in his 3.5 days, totally blank piece of paper. And by chance, then again, after the next rota, and then he came back, said, charge, Hazrat Uthman, on the next cycle, said, come, water. Allah Ta'ala put barakah into the water. There was sweetness in the water. Allahu Akbar, and the water was coming, overflowing over the rim of the well. Overflowing, subhanAllah. This is the greatness of the generosity. Then once, one day passed, 2 days passed, on the fourth day, the Jew said, "Forgive me, but you have spoilt my whole business and my tijara, O Muslim. So now what we do, you take the whole well, make the transaction." He said, "Okay, I will buy it off you. Will you give me the rest? Will you pay the rest?" He said, "How much will you give?" He said, "However much you ask, I'll give to you." He said, "Okay, if you want to please Allah, then see, this is generosity. So what do you have to see then? Allah Ta'ala has given to me, so why should I ask from you? Now you ask from me, what do you want?" That here, this was very small value and a small bargain and small transaction for paradise. That when my Nabi will find out, then alhamdulillah, that subhanAllah, openly I will get the love and the affection and recognition. What else do I need? My Nabi will be happy with me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was an ashik. The Jew said, "He's an ashik." He said, "Okay, 40,000. He said, "Here, take 40,000. Radiyallahu anhu. The conclusion that emanated was, subhanAllah, Biri Uthman opened, the well of Uthman opened, radiyallahu anhu, everybody drank the water, and subhanAllah, this was the example of sakhawat, generosity. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became happy when he heard that Hazrat Uthman has bought a well for the Muslims to give them water. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raised his hands and did dua for Hazrat Uthman. And good news came for Uthman radiallahu anhu. Sakhawat, generosity. Generosity. And let's take the first expedition of the Muslims, which was the expedition of Badr. And the final expedition was Tabuk, the very severe one. Now in the first expedition there were 313 Sahaba, noble companions. In the final one, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that we had to go to this expedition, there is a bit of a clash and we need to go to Tabuk. Is anybody who wants to go? Then, what was the reaction? People thought, how long are we going to be with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? We don't know how long this will be. So everybody said, let's take this opportunity and chance that let's go with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on another journey. Additional journey. So if you count, 90,000 Sahaba were ready for the expedition. So from 313, first expedition of Badr to Tabuk, 90,000 Sahaba. The Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Master of Medina, was sat in Masjid al-Nabawi. And he said to the Sahaba, "Tell me your hal, condition. How much have you prepared?" He said, 90,000 strong. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Is it?" Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then, but the masla is this, that there's so many people ready, but there's nothing to eat or drink. What will we take with us, provisions-wise? And there are lots of Sahaba coming. Maybe more will come. What should we do? How will we pass the days without food and drink? And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sat there and listening and watching, and he was proud of his Sahaba. And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Is there anybody today? Is there anybody from amongst you, O Sahaba, my companions, who will help these 19,000 companions of mine who are ready to go on the path of Allah for the sake of Allah?" And that time the Prophet was there sitting, and the Sahaba Jamaat was sitting there, and they had nothing. And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu stated this hadith, narrated this hadith. He said, "I saw from in front Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. As soon as he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as soon as the Prophet saw Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu stood up. Suddenly he stood up. He said, 'O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may I give my everything to you? 2,000 camels. I give totally filled with the baggage and the luggage for the journey. I give." For Allah, subhanAllah, the Prophet then announced again, "Is there anybody else who would like to take part in this expedition?" As Bilal radiallahu anhu said that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked to his right, and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu went to the right of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He jumped that nobody else could get a turn. He said, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 2,000 extra camels laden with the provisions for the expedition, I give for the sake of Allah." Sakhawat, generosity. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Fine." Then Rasulullah ﷺ again announced, he looked to his left at this time, "Is there anybody who can assist and take part and share?" And then Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu jumped to the left, and Bilal radiallahu anhu said, "I saw Hazrat Uthman again stand up and said, 'O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, 4,000 camels and laden with the goods.'" with the provisions. What happened then? Due to this generosity, due to these qualities, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spread his sheet onto the ground and then brought it back in and said, Allah, he raised his hand, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, Allah, listen companions, every companion heard, he said, that everybody will have a rafiq in Jannah, and I, Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I say that my rafiq is Uthman. Subhanallah, ha ha, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu, what a great rank of companion he was. People speak about him and narrate different things, but do we want paradise? What a great piece of news that we learn from it, that his eyes, he was crying, the tears were flowing. But if this quality comes into a human being, he attains the qurb, the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the reason for this? What is inherent in being a sakhi? In being generous and distributing goods to people. And the reason for this is that this link is with the makhluk, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the human beings. And Allah ta'ala loves the makhluk, the human beings. Extreme love, Allah ta'ala loves the human beings and the creation of Allah. So when a person, a human being, loves another human being or creature and gives food to the hunger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, what do you like, O Uthman? What do you like, Uthman? What do you prefer to do? And he said, O Prophet of Allah, shall I tell you, I like three things. And Rasulullah sallallahu said, what do you like to do? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I like that there's a food mat, mine, dastarkhan, and there are poor people sat on there eating, and my Rabb, my Lord, is happy with me at that time. Allahu Akbar. And the second thing you like, Abu Uthman, the second thing, O Prophet of Allah, is that I want to have money, and I have money, and I see poor people, and for the poor people, I keep on buying clothes for them, and they wear new clothes on their body. And the third thing that you like, Abu Uthman, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my third desire is that I prepare and make food for poor people and distribute that food to the poor people. And this is what Rasulullah said. And Rasulullah said, beautiful desires you have, sakhawat, high class sakhi and generous sahabi. Once what happened one day, I remember an event as Uthman radiyallahu anhu. And I remember this event. And what happened in this event was an ajeeb event, that there's love here. Example of love and generosity. The Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, what is example? That the ashik, when he has, hears this event, he will sway and be so happy and rejoice. And this is the love the sheikh has with the murid. And this is the path for love. If a murid does not have love with his sheikh, or itiqad, or trust, you can say aqidah, he cannot reach his manzil. The condition of tasawwuf, the first and foremost thing is that the student has to have itiqad, belief and love for his sheikh, and that's when he can start to progress down this path. Because we've learned this from the sahaba, this is not some new thing, some innovation. We've learned this from the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum, and look at the love they had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of the companions were great, but look at the love here of this great sahabi, and we'll enjoy when we hear this example. Subhanallah. So in Masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sat, and he looked and he saw Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. He came close and he said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the issue? He said that, will you come and eat food at my home? Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and said, yes, I'll come to your house to eat. So let's go. Can you come please? And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, let's go. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up from Masjid al-Nabawi, and when he left the masjid, and he went, and Hazrat Uthman radhiyallahu anhu was behind. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking in front, and Hazrat Uthman radhiyallahu anhu was behind, and his lips were moving. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Hazrat Uthman and said, what are you reciting? And when they reached home, the food was presented, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate the food and did dua, and then came back, and Hazrat Uthman radhiyallahu anhu was behind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was moving in front, walking in front, and Hazrat Uthman was saying something from his lips. Then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got to the masjid and said, Uthman, come, your food was very delicious, but what is this action that I was walking in front of you and your lips were moving behind me? What were you reciting? And when I came back from your home, then your lips were moving, and again you were behind me. Listen to this point. Say Subhanallah in advance. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shall I tell you? And Rasulullah said, yes, tell me. He said, the situation was such that from a long time I had asked Allah, requested and pleaded and had a desire, and I presented it to Allah, that Allah, may that time come, may that hour come, that I can bring my mahbub, my beloved, to my home, and I can feed my mahbub, and his blessed feet come into my house. Wallahi, this is the love a student has with the sheikh. And I had love like this with my Hazrat, but there everything was bidnillah. Not that you go to the rich man's home or not go to the poor man's home. I remember Hazrat, when they used to come to Karachi to go to Umrah, many people used to stand, and mill owners and rich people and wealthy people. And when Hazrat used to select a place, and this fakir's home Hazrat used to come to, so everyone had to come there. Great rich people, you know, Karachi, there are millionaires and rich people, wealthy people, and mashallah, they used to look and look, and they used to come to my car with my brother and come to them. And whoever used to come to us, and everyone, all the mashayikh and the walis and ulama and scholars, mashallah, this fakir, mashallah, had the chance, and we were successful. The Hazrat's blessed feet came to our home. Aha, may Allah Ta'ala give such love to the walis, wala, and this muhabbat love is very useful indeed, my friends, very useful. Who goes to somebody's house? Who can put his feet? I swear by Allah, wealth cannot purchase the wali wala. And if the wali wala has to go within a second without any news, the wali reaches there. Look at the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah. Can you imagine that the wali is going to the house and his direction changes and goes to the house where he'd not even planned, where he could not even think that the wali had gone there? This is the glory, this is the great status of the wali's wala. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, that when the wali wala comes to the home, I swear by Allah, that those moments, they are the seconds like you are in Jannah, paradise. This a person, just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, when Rasulullah would go into the house, somebody would bring the prayer mat, whoever's the owner of the house, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite, pray 2 rakah nafil. Then that person would read his whole life the 2 rakah nafil in the same place. So much barakah would come. That's why the walis of Allah do this action. And so fortunate is a person who has the opportunity that the wali of Allah, his blessed steps come to the house, the barakah comes, the rahmah mercy of Allah comes, and the difficulties and problems go far from the house. As Uthman radiyallahu anhu said, and this is the dalil, that such a great Sahabi, and Dhun Nurain, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's two blessed daughters were married to Hazrat Uthman radhiyallahu anhu, and so much love that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and then Hazrat Rasulullah sallam said, "Where's Uthman?" And today we're talking about Hazrat Uthman. Very few people mention Hazrat Uthman, and they said that Uthman is crying. He's going here and there. He's crying. Rasulullah sallam said, "Call him." Call him. And he called Hazrat Uthman and he said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm crying for one reason, that in Masjid Nabawi I used to come, I used to see your blessed face. When I used to go home, I used to see your two blessed daughters. Subhanallah, now I'm lost. I will be lost, I will lose out." And Rasulullah said, "Uthman, have patience. I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life, that if I had more daughters, I would have given them to you in your nikah, in your marriage." What beautiful love the Prophet had with Hazrat Uthman. And Hazrat Uthman said, "O Prophet of Allah, that I asked you something. I asked one desire, that Allah, that I wanted the Prophet to come to my home and your blessed feet come there, and today I have this good fortune, Allah Ta'ala accepted, and my desire was accepted. What was your desire?" And Hazrat Uthman said that my desire was that when you saw my lips moving, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the amount of steps you take, that on every step I want to free a slave. Subhanallah, what a great generous sahabi. Great generous sahabi. On every step, blessed footstep of yours, I will free a slave. And I counted how many steps you had walked, and you walked 500 steps to my home. So give ijazah to Uthman to free now 500 slaves. Subhanallah, tell me how Allah Ta'ala gave him greatness. What great love he attained of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What he had, the mercy. But what was his root quality? He was generous, extremely generous. So sakhawat, generosity, is that you need to have certain means to become a sakhi. That, for example, you need to give what you like the most to the other person. For example, I'll give you the example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then I will continue with my discussion. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was present, and you know, for example, the women folk, the sahabia, the females, they have love, they want to go to paradise, just like the male sahaba, just like the male student or murid has love for the sheikh, same as the male sahaba had love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And obviously, if a female student has the love, obviously every woman has a desire to be a good student, to get paradise and rewards. Everybody has this desire. So that woman, the sahabia, the female companion, radiyallahu anha, she had extreme love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what was her love? It was accepted. She had her own style, her own capacity, capabilities, and power and strength. So in her heart came a feeling that I want to go and I want to buy a cloak, a sheet, a nice sheet, a rida sheet, that's so beautiful it should be nice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should like it. When a person does this, then Allah Ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he gives the understanding in the heart of that person that the present I'm buying for that person, that definitely he will like the item that I'm buying for that person. And here, this was a present being bought for the Imam ul Anbiya, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So imagine his taste and likings. So Allah Ta'ala instilled into the heart of that woman the message that what should be bought. So mashallah, that woman, she bought a cloak, a blanket, and she presented herself to the company, into the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the other sahaba, the noble companions were there. And she said, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to make a request." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes." She said, "I have a big desire that I've bought a sheet, a cloak for you. If you like this, I want to give this as a gift to you." And all of the companions are looking, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked and said, "Oh, I wanted this sheet. Subhanallah, This is what I needed, huh? This is what I needed, exactly. Such a beautiful sheet. And I had a need for this sheet. And here the muhaddithin have written a lot of events and commentary that when a person gives a gift to somebody, they never make a face. If I had something else. No, the recipient should never make a face. Rather to please the person giving the gift, then praise the item that you've given. Oh, I wanted this, or I really needed this. And imagine the difference here, that the person, how the encouragement increases. I remember that I went to meet Hazrat, I bought a sweater, a cardigan, a jumper, and I was a poor man, I couldn't buy anything else. I was going to visit my sheikh, and while I was leaving, before I left, and the winter finished there. So when I went to Karachi, and then I went to DG Khan, and when I reached to Punjab, where my sheikh was based, and the cold climate had finished, and it was warm climate, and I was presenting a jumper, and Hazrat must have thought, that is he mad that the climate has gone now, that it's now hot, and I was a bit afraid, and I presented it to Hazrat, and look at Hazrat's humility and humbleness, subhanallah, Hazrat, and I cried after that. Due in that heat, in the extreme heat, Hazrat, so when the Hazrat came the next morning at Fajr time, he was wearing that sweater, a thick sweater, and he didn't take it off. And as long as it was there, he did not take. Our qameez we take off due to the heat, but Hazrat's body, the sweater, the jumper was not taken off. To give recognition. This is tawaza, humility, and this is called being the wali of Allah. This is whatever. Who does this? Who takes, goes through difficulty? Can anybody please or thank anyone else that to keep my heart for Hazrat to show me that he liked the jumper? He withstood the climate and the heat and the sweat was coming down, but he did not take the jumper. I thought, quickly, let me leave here. Hazrat's not going to take this jumper off as long as I'm here, as many days I'm here next to Hazrat. So I left. So that Hazrat would not carry him with the jumper and give himself hardship. So the Prophet has given us the teaching. And this hadith must have passed in front of Hazrat's blessed eyes that he brought this into amal. Subhanallah. And Hazrat said, I needed this. This one knew. And so the Prophet said to the woman that, I needed this cloak, this sheet, and you brought this. And the Sahaba come thought, oh, she's made the number today. She's won today. And then further than that, onward that ajib, the Prophet took that sheet and straight away wrapped it around himself. As if he needed it, really needed it. And Rasulullah took the sheet, the blanket, and wrapped it around himself. And that woman, she was crying, she was emotional, that I've succeeded. Then what happened after that? You see, sakhawat, the generosity, look at the generosity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously, the Prophet liked it, the sheet, the blanket, and the companion, she attained so much reward due to this action. And imagine the recognition that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to the woman. Then one companion stood up and said, oh Prophet of Allah, can I take this blanket? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took that blanket off, and didn't say anything, and said, yes, you can take it. Aha! How great a maqam of generosity. Imagine this. What a great maqam. The straight way on receiving, the Prophet gave it away. If I got this sheet, for example, a blanket as a gift, rida, I'd say, oh, you've given this to me as a gift. You don't need this. I won't give it to anyone else, would I? I'd be miserly. And if somebody gets this maqam, we have this all inside our hearts and souls. But when the stinginess and miserliness is removed from a person's life, then he starts to love that person who's asking him because he wants to give to him or her. And that thing increases, the love increases. Why? Because he's the servant of Allah. He's the makhluk of Allah, the creation of Allah. And he's asking for me. So the reality is that the hadith comes in front that a man came to you, Allah Ta'ala will say on the Day of Judgment, that I was thirsty and you didn't give me water to drink. I was naked and you didn't give me clothes to wear. So what a great status this amal comes in their eyes, in their lives, and these amal drop and descend into lives. That he's asking from me. Tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, Allah will say that my servant came to you and asked you for something. You didn't give him that item. You didn't give it to him. And this is called walayat and being the friend of Allah. And to attain this, what do we need? We need to make efforts so that these qualities come into our life. Alhamdulillah, they do. They come and they will come with the fadl of Allah. Go today, and since you started to learn dhikr, pull yourself together, have a bit of determination. How many good things have come to your life? Say it. Say subhanallah loudly. Aha, these things came into your life. So how can they not come if Allah Ta'ala has promised that dhikr of Allah will remove your sins and the good things will come into your life? The people in your family, in your life will know that before you used to grab your fist, clench your fist shut, and you used to hide the money and the notes. And then Allah Ta'ala has told you dhikr, you become sakhi and generous, and the people in your household will be amazed that you take money out openly, freely, because you're used to taking the money out now. So when I saw the Sahaba Ikram, they took hold of and said, what have you done of that Sahaba? And said, what did you do here? Ajeeb Mamli you've done here? That Rasulullah received this gift and he liked it, and he had did that, she had this and that. He said, why have you taken it? Remember, every companion, he had a different style and a different method and approach to love, that we cannot reach to that point. And no companion can we criticize. Whoever criticized the Sahaba is the most foolish human being going. Totally ignorant, totally illiterate and uneducated. Take the life of the Sahaba, and if people start to debate, why did they fight each other? Why did they fight that person? Why are you worried about this? They are one complete family. And they will all go to the hereafter, and Allah Ta'ala will decide for them positively on the Day of Judgment. And Allah Ta'ala will remove everything from their hearts. They'll be sat there talking to each other. They are one jamaat, one congregation of people. They were great people. They achieved greatness that nothing before or after them could achieve. Nor will their life or the world or the earth or creation be able to see until the Day of Qiyamah. That jamaat that was born in this world of the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu anhum. How can we compare to them? We stand today, this companion was like this, he said this, and Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu said this, and he shouldn't have done this, and Hazrat Aisha said this, and Hazrat Amir Muawiyah said this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Those people are drowning who criticize the Sahaba Ikram. This is my belief, this is my feeling, passion, that subhanAllah, that there were arguments, and they answered the differences of opinion amongst themselves. But Allah Ta'ala confined them to a certain place with the nur and the light. And what was that? The nur-e Mustafa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were protected there, sheltered there. And the nur of Sharia would revolve around them. Every decision that was made by a companion, we can understand. But his niyyah, his intention would be Sharia. Would be Allah Ta'ala's laws. As Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had the objective of Sharia, as Ali had the objective of Sharia. Both had the same right, exact same niyyah, intention, and the companions on both sides were correct, and their fighting was also correct. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala knows, Allah knows what is the intention in the hearts, and they both knew what is hadith. Anyway, this is a very great topic, and the ulama ikram, we've heard from them, I'm a fakir, we are fakiris, but this is the reality, that sahabi had a niyyah. When all of the companions were silent, he said, okay, fine, you're angry, but ask me, what is the issue? Ask me, what is the dalil that can be presented for this person? As I was saying, that I was thinking something else. What do you think? And he said that I was thinking that this cloak, sheet, that has got a very great status, that this woman has given this to you, and her, she has received paradise, attained paradise. And if this function, implementation of that lady, and is given a paradise, and the Prophet Muhammad loves this, and he embraced this present, so much so that he said, that, should I waste my time? And he said, straight away, give me this blanket, the companion, tomorrow, yesterday I've seen that I will be buried, and this sheep will become my coffin, and I will be lowered into the grave. And all of the companions were proud of him that he's taken the number today. Subhanallah, he was a sakhi. So what difference is that? Does that make to him? So subhanAllah, never did he waste a day without being generous. And when he passed away, subhanAllah, the riwayah is present that when that sahabi passed away, then they did make his kafan, the cloth around him, from that blanket or sheet he took from the woman. So my brothers, we can speak so much, but my objective of what we're discussing today is that we're doing the right thing by spending time on dhikr. There's no showing off here, there's no words here that are some sort of magic, trance, etc. No, these are words that I've heard from the pious predecessors. And for example, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that his final time he was our Shaykh, a recognized great Shaykh. When I heard these words that emanated from his blessed words, that you do dhikr of Allah and the illnesses will go, you become pious and your qualities will increase and improve. Why should we waste time, brothers? Why? That what difficulties there is that morning and evening, we keep on talking, that we should sit down and do dhikr of Allah. 30 minutes, 45 minutes. So anyway, whenever you are doing something good, then at that time, in the beginning, initiation, you have to be a bit pushed or reminded. But when the whole dalil of life comes to you, then do not worry about anybody putting up. For example, you're eating, the flies will come and sit down. Don't worry about the flies. Concentrate on the food, the stock. You'll continue to suck the mangoes or the other fruits. But dalil is there. What's the dalil for this? What's the proof? That, subhanAllah, look inside your own self. Look inside your own self, your hearts. And the biggest dalil is this, that if you look inside yourself and analyze that the benefits of doing dhikr, what are they? Is there benefit or is there not? SubhanAllah. So the more sweet you enter or put into the drink or food, then the more sweet it will be when you eat it or drink it. So we have to make effort. Alhamdulillah, that's what Allah Ta'ala said. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira. Wadhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira. When you do dhikr of Allah, do dhikr in abundance. There's no limit. Why? Because every man knows his capacity and capability and can utilize and implement his energy. Allah Ta'ala knows how much manat, how much struggle, strive was done to get to a person gets to the high stage. Someone gets the rank due to 500 or 50 or 20 or 100 repetitions. Everybody has a different schedule. The physically will look different and spiritually will look different. For example, the signs on this hand, these lines is the record that no other man in the world has got these same prints. Nobody. Look at the achievement. Look at Allah Ta'ala's creation. I've got a hand, you've got a hand. Let's take in the whole world. Nobody will have a hand like mine with these marks and these angles until the Day of Judgment. Nobody. You will not get the exact same print. You won't. You won't. Now let's ask that the masters or people have done degrees on the subjects, and I can't remember what we call them. They've done a degree in the subject matter. What are they? They say that you won't get this. And this is how So when, for example, somebody is caught, then first they take a print out. That what is he? Is he saying the truth or is he lying? The master is sitting there. First they take a print, and then they say, go. You can go anywhere and work now, but how much will you try to hide? You can change your direction, but we've taken your print out. Wherever we meet you, we'll say the figure, we'll tell the police, and you'll be inside. So this is how Allah Ta'ala has made the law and created the law in a smooth way. So we can't get this. So in the same way, the life inside a person spiritually is different. Allah says, كثيرا وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That if a person doesn't do the dhikr of Allah, he cannot get close to Allah. And if these qualities don't come into our life, that person departs the world as a bukhl. And if he doesn't have sakhawat and sincerity, then we should not be satisfied. We should keep on trying to increase it. Just keep on trying to increase it. Keep on trying to increase it. But it doesn't mean that don't recite Quran, don't go on tabligh, don't do ta'leem. No, do all of these things. You have to do these things. This is additional what I'm saying as bonus. Do hajj, umrah. But this example, this is for the individual, subhanAllah. Everybody is necessary that we shouldn't leave the dhikr of Allah. And the most easy way, Allah Ta'ala said, is what? To remember Allah in the heart. That's the easiest method. Allah Ta'ala says, remember me in your heart. That's it. Walking, talking, sitting down, lying down. And remember, except that Allah Ta'ala says, say this statement that Allah Ta'ala's nur is coming in my heart and my heart is doing Allah, Allah, Allah. So today, inshallah, the heart will automatically say Allah, Allah, because Allah Ta'ala has made the heart for His remembrance. My brothers, we have no guarantee in life. There's a small amount of time left. The beards are white. People came here for other objectives. Subhanallah. They've come on their own, or the grandfather came and then became a grandchild and a great grandfather. People have come here. We go to the graveyards. The graveyards are full with the Muslims. Full up. There's no space, and people are calling out, it's me. Please come to me. I recognize me. And thousands of people we know, 15, 20 years have been here. Bolton. So many people used to pray here in Salah with us, and today they're in the graveyards in the Qabristan, and we will go there as well tomorrow. So let's not waste time. Let's not waste time. It's very valuable, precious. If we make that promise today, then on the Day of Judgment, then in the Hashar, the Qabr will attain a big, big, great maqam, great status. Very easy, simple solution that have used the resources. We're not saying Allah Ta'ala is not saying that Allah. We're not saying that Allah, we're weak. We are weak. But Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you a sabab, resources that remember me by name. Oh Allah, we're remembering you with your name, just like the pious predecessors advise us. Allah Ta'ala, if we will keep on remembering you, Allah Ta'ala, you save us and take us out of a negative consequence. SubhanAllah. We just have to do this. That learn some dhikr from a shaykh and do that. For example, the shaykh says 30 minutes or 15 minutes or 45 minutes. That's what we need to do. Qalbi dhikr. We recite the kalamats, don't we? The verses, mashallah. This is for the majlis. But the real dhikr, the genuine dhikr, is the silent dhikr we do in the heart. And qalbi dhikr is the real genuine article, that the dhikr we do, the manaqabat. These kalamats that we read loudly, they are for thawab. They are good kalamats, and we all collectively recite them. But the asl, the genuine dhikr, is the dhikr in the heart. In the heart, Allah, 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 Allah. That's it. That's all we need to do. Keep on doing that. Keep on doing that. We don't need to have wudu. We don't need anything else. And where we, subhanAllah, total sakina and peace in the heart. SubhanAllah. So when we say Allah, 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 we won't feel like we want to repeat sins and look at a woman or lie or backbite. We'll stop from doing the evil actions. Even then we'll be saved from thousands of actions. So first is Allah, that is announcement. What's our function duty? SubhanAllah, is to please Allah, subhanAllah, may Allah, give us all the tawfiq. Let's do dua. Ameen.